Thank you for just your provision in our lives. Thank you for another year that we can serve you. And Father, I just pray that would just really be in our hearts and our minds that we're here on this earth to serve you, to glorify you, to do your will and not ours. And that's hard to accomplish many times, but that is what you expect of us. That's what you would desire of us. So, Father, help us to live in such a way that shows love to you and that shows love to the rest of the world. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, he's on his journey. He was up in Galilee, and he's traveling now towards Jerusalem. We'll have a little stopover in Jericho. One of the things, or many of the things about Jesus is that he drew attention. And it wasn't, you know, from his looks or fame or money. There was just something about him that was alluring. It was spellbinding. It was even irresistible that people were drawn to him. He defied expectations. What people would expect of someone who was a rabbi, although he wasn't officially a rabbi, but people saw him that way. He was very unpredictable. It was hard to know how he was going to work in a certain situation because many times, what he did in one way, he would do something totally different the next time. His coming was predicted, however. The Old Testament predicted that Jesus would come, that he would be Messiah. And so many of the religious leaders missed that. God's promises would be fulfilled in Jesus. He's on his final journey, because once he arrives in Jerusalem, it'll be the beginning of the end of his time here on earth. And he enters Jericho. Jericho is on the way to Jerusalem. It's the way that the Jews would have traveled. It was a traditional route. Because what it did is, if you can kind of see it there on the map, is it stayed out of Samaria. Samaria was a place of what the Jews considered half-breeds. They didn't associate with the Samaritans. And so when they would travel from up north to Jerusalem, they would stay out of Samaria. They would usually travel east of the Jordan. They were going to celebrate Passover, the probably the biggest celebration for the Jews. Heading to Jerusalem, there were many pilgrims along the road that were traveling down to Jerusalem. And of course, along with that, there would be many beggars out there because they knew there would be a lot of people coming by. So they entered Jericho. So Jericho, if you remember from Old Testament, was the place where the walls came tumbling down, right? Joshua and the Israelites surrounded Jericho, and the walls came down. Jericho is kind of an interesting place. It's 846 feet below sea level. It's one of the lowest cities on earth. It's also called the City of Palms. It actually has a very temperate climate. It's actually a very desirable place to be, so a lot of the kings and the rulers and the wealthy of the time built retreats and spas in Jericho. It was a resting place for those traveling to Jerusalem. The Jericho was kind of the place they would stop and get ready to head to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was only 20 miles away, but it was almost 3,000 feet different in elevation. So it was quite the climb from Jericho to Jerusalem. And remember, they're walking. You know, no cars, really not much of a trail even. It was a caravan route that they were traveling on. And like I said before, many beggars, because it was ideal for them to be out at this time, because not only is there a lot of people, but they're heading to celebrate Passover. So they're in a pretty good frame of mind. So a great place to be out there. We're introduced to Bartimaeus, says the son of Timaeus. One of the notes to make here is that Mark uses his name. If you notice, a lot of times when Jesus is dealing with different people in the Bible, we never know their name. You know, the demon-possessed man and some of those people. It's thought that the reason that Mark used Bartimaeus' name was because he was known amongst the followers after that, that he was someone that they would have known of. And so when he was writing his gospel, he mentioned his name because people would go, oh, yeah, we know him. It says that he cried out. The Greek word kradzo, cried out really doesn't do justice, because literally he screamed out with a loud voice. He shrieked, he exclaimed, no restraint. And he was calling out, have mercy on me. Because he heard what was going on. He heard the conversations that people were having, that this was Jesus of Nazareth. And from the talk, he understood who it was, that this was Messiah. And that's why he called him Son of David, because that's a messianic title that he used. This was really someone important. And so he calls out to him, looking for mercy. Jesus, in turn, when he hears him, calls him to come over. He summons him to come so that he can talk to him. It's interesting, we see this with Jesus a lot. He stops everything he's doing to focus on one person. You need to picture this. He's traveling to Jerusalem. The disciples are with him. Many followers are with him. There's a huge crowd going along with him. Not to mention all the people that were on the road traveling to Jerusalem, and he stops what he's doing. And he picks out one person in the crowd. Of course, it sounds like this one person was louder than everybody else, because he was trying to get Jesus' attention. And he says, come here. And Bartimaeus' response, immediately, it says, he threw his cloak aside. Now, this is one of those things where you kind of read scripture and you say, oh yeah, he threw his cloak aside, and you just kind of keep on going along. You have to realize his cloak was probably his only possession. His cloak was something he slept in, slept on. He used it to carry stuff in. This was a very important item. And it says he just threw it aside. And it says he jumped up, because Messiah was calling him. He was excited. And he comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Well, duh. But Jesus wanted to know, what did he really want? What did he really need? Now, it could have been easy for him to say, well, you know, I could really use a couple bucks for the bus. Didn't have buses back then. But. So I'm kind of wondering if maybe Jesus was kind of testing him to see if he really understood. And what Bartimaeus says to him, he says, I want to regain my sight. Now, just in that statement, we learn that he had had sight at one time. Somewhere along the way, he had lost his sight. So he knew what it was like to be able to see. We've seen other places where it talks about in John the man that was blind from birth had never been able to see. Bartimaeus had been able to see. He knew what it was like. And he says, I want to regain my sight. That shows us his understanding of who he believed that Jesus was. Because who could heal him? Who could give him his sight back? Nobody but God. Nobody but God could do that. He believed that Jesus could do it. So Jesus says to him, go, your faith has made you well. That term that's used there, sozo, means saved. The indication here is not that he's just made well, that he can regain his sight, but that he's saved. He's received salvation because of his faith. His faith has been rewarded, his sight restored, and his sins forgiven because he had faith in who Jesus was. Now, one of the other things that we need to notice here is the statement that Jesus made was, go, you're healed. But he didn't go, did he? You catch that? Jesus said, go. He gave him the opportunity that go back to your family, go wherever you want to go. But what Bartimaeus did is he chose to follow Jesus. He chose to not go. And in fact, the Greek word that's used there has the idea that not only did he follow, he kept following. So that could give us then some indication as to why Mark used his name, because it was someone, it was a disciple who they knew. That when Mark wrote his gospel, these people understood who Bartimaeus was. They'd heard about him. They may have personally known him. He could have just as easily went back, grabbed his cloak, and took off for home. But he didn't. He chose to follow Jesus, even though Jesus didn't say, come follow me. He chose to follow him. He could just as easily have left. I want to read through this section here, Mark 10, 46 through 52. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, and a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many who were there were sternly telling him, be quiet. But he cried out even more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he's calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man just said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Have you had that experience where Jesus says, Come on over here. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? And how many times do we start giving him the list? Well, you know, I could use this and I need that. And, you know, we go down the list. What we need to do is we need to realize how much we need his mercy. How much we need salvation. You know, many times we think, well, you know, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as that other guy. We all need grace and mercy. And we, as Bartimaeus, remember that Greek word kradzo, we need to call out, scream out, plead with God for grace and mercy. Because whether we realize it or not, we need it every single day. Amen. Every day. Do we ask God for too little? Now, I'm not talking about money or stuff. I'm talking about the important things. When Jesus comes and says, "What can I do for you?" Do we give him the list that is really very unimportant? Or do we ask him for what is the most valuable thing out there? For grace, for mercy, for healing. Because Jesus wants to give us that. He wants us to have the grace and mercy. He wants us to come to that place of salvation. In those times when we're blinded by sin, whether it's fear or worry or selfishness, we need to cry out to Jesus for grace and mercy. Many times we wander around this world like a blind man because we're not truly seeing. In Mark chapter 8, and this is actually comes from the Old Testament, "Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?" In those times when we're blinded by sin, we need to remember what Jesus did. Remember what God's done for us. You know, sometimes it gets easy as we go along through life, we start forgetting about some of those things that God brought us through. And part of it is we get busy with life. It's not that we're, you know, that it's bad stuff. It's just sometimes we get so busy. And then we get caught off guard sometimes by the trials and the tribulations and the sin that so easily entangles us. And we forget about, oh yeah, now I remember. I remember when God, how he delivered me from. I'm guessing we probably all have those stories when we can think back to when God was so real. And then life gets in the way and we forget how real God really is and that he's concerned with the little tiny daily things. Because he loves us. Bless you. Do you not yet see or understand? Has your heart hardened? This world has a way of hardening our heart, of kind of desensitizing us. Having eyes, do you not see? Do you not see the Savior? Do you not see what God wants to do and what he is doing? Do you not remember who God is, what he's done? Because it's not just Bartimaeus that he's helped regain his sight. But I would guess most of us in this room, God, Jesus, has helped us regain our sight, our true sight, to be able to see, to be able to remember, to be able to understand, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can be helped through life. You know, if you're sitting here today and that's not your experience, that you've not experienced really being able to see Jesus and who he is, I would encourage you to consider Jesus. Not the church, not what other people say, but the Jesus that we see in the scriptures. Who is he? This is who he is. He's the guy that goes along and picks out one guy out of the crowd and says, I'm going to make a huge difference in your life today. Bless you. You're going to regain your sight. But it's bigger than just regaining your sight, because what was going to happen is he was truly going to see for the very first time who Jesus is and what he could do. So I encourage you, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've not come to that point to realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, consider Jesus. Because he loved you so much that he was willing to go to the cross for you. And that was a pretty horrible death that he suffered on the cross for us out of love. So consider Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word and stories like this, where we can see how you worked in the life of an individual. And I can't even imagine what it would be like for Jesus to be walking down that road and seeing all the people that were in need. And in that moment, he couldn't meet the need of every single person. So he would have to pick and choose. But in so doing, people would see who he was. Because in a very short amount of time, he was going to meet the need of every single person as he hung on that cross. He was going to meet all of our needs, because our greatest need is a Savior, so that we can be reconciled to God, so the sin within us could be cleansed and we can have that relationship with God. Father, thank you so much for showing us Jesus. Help us to be willing to show others Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.